Real quick challenge here. Let me ask you a question. Why are you here tonight? Better question is, why are you here, period? Does God have a plan in your life? Do you know all that God has a plan? You may not know exactly what it is, but I can tell you this, God does have a plan. And from His sovereignty, He knows exactly why He's called each one of you to be here even tonight and in your communities. An interesting thing is, this is not the first time questions like this have been asked. In reality, it's a question that probably goes back to the beginning of man. Do you know that our Bible is full of where God has showed us by His sovereignty and His intervening in the affairs of man of why He has put certain people in certain places at certain times? Probably one of the best known of all those is in the book of Esther, in chapter 4. And if you want to turn here, you can look at the story in Esther chapter 4, but I'll fill in the gaps real quick here. We don't have a lot of time, but think about this. Why was Esther where she was at? Now, who was Esther? This young Jewess who is now basically become the queen in this Medo-Persian Empire here, this area to where she is the queen to this pagan king who got there because he got rid of the first queen. God, can I just say this, put her where she's at. And then all of a sudden we have this bad guy who comes into the scene by the name of Haman. And Haman basically is all out of sorts because the Jews will not bow down to him, will not give him any respect in any way, shape, or form. Haman goes to the king, has a decree that is made up under false pretenses. The king, unknowingly, without the reality of knowing what this is going to impact, signs it. In the Medo-Persian law, once it's signed, let it be written, let it be so. Nothing can change it. Mordecai, chapter 3, is sitting outside the gate in sackcloth and ashes because the decree has just been published. Cousin Esther, sitting in the palace, how she doesn't know about the decree still baffles me. But the fact that she doesn't, Mordecai sitting out there, hey, go find out what's wrong with Mordecai. Mordecai says, don't you know that this decree has been signed by your husband, the king? And she's like, so what? No, don't you understand that the decree basically says that all of us as Jews will be exterminated, executed on this particular date? And she says, well, what's that have to do with me? Well, excuse me, you're a Jewess. Don't you understand this is going to affect you just like it does all the rest of us? So what do you want me to do? You need to go in before the king and to tell him what is really happening here with this whole decree and all of it. And then she comes and says, but I haven't been before the king in some 30 days. I just can't go walking into the inner chamber, the inner court. And if I go walking into the inner court without being invited, it's an immediate death sentence. And Mordecai, in his wisdom, says something like this. Well, sister, you're either going to die now or you're going to die later. Choose your poison. That was me. That was my hand. So all of a sudden, she comes to the realization, wow, if I don't do something, then we're all going to die. And then she makes this statement, and if I perish, I perish. But you know what Mordecai told her in all of that in chapter 4, verses 17, I believe? Here's what he told her. He said, Esther, have you ever come to the conclusion and thought about this, that you may be here just for such a time as this? Wow. think about that. Esther, you're really here just for such a time as this. Now, let me help you with something. In this process that I just encapsulated there very quickly, I will tell you that Esther had to go through three things in her mind very quickly. Are you ready? She had to come to the conclusion, first and foremost, number one, this decision may cost me something. She went through that because we know that she had this discussion with Mordecai. And the discussion was that I haven't been before, and if I go into the inner chamber, and if I perish, I perish. And the thought of this is, Mordecai, do you realize that me going before the king, this could cost me my life? Now we know the end of the story, and it didn't. But it could have, couldn't it? Can I tell you something else she had to come to the conclusion of really quickly? Here it is. It's not about Esther. Esther had to come to the realization, this is not about me. Amen? This is something much bigger than me. It's not about me. And then the last thing she had to come to the conclusion is this, real simple. I must simply do the will of God. That's what this is really about. That's why God has called me here. That's why the sovereignty of God. She figured it out. She realized it. I am here simply because of God. This is all about God. And do you know what's beautiful about that? In the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned one time. Now that's wonderful. But let me help you with something. Do you think she's the first one that's ever had to come to that conclusion? Think about the people in the Bible that we know of. Daniel. Do you think he had it for such a time as this moment? How about Moses? How about Joseph being falsely accused, thrown into prison, only to be released, then to be the second man of the kingdom? Do you see God's hand all over that? Do you think Joseph had to go through a for such a time as this moment? And when it was all said and done, he concluded in Genesis 48 through 50. This is all about God. You may have meant it for evil, brothers, but God, he meant it for good. I want to stop and tell you, ask one other thing. Do you know there's another individual in Scripture that had a for such a time as this moment? Do you know who that is? Jesus Christ. What? Yeah. And we see Jesus going through the same process, really, that you see that Esther did at the Garden of Gethsemane. The night before Calvary, as he is praying with the Father, we see that there's a conclusion. When you match that with Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, of letting this mind be in you, which was in Christ also, Jesus, and we see the focus of Christ about others. We see his humility. And then we see his passion for saving the souls of all mankind. We see this conundrum that Jesus is coming to here, and he realizes and he knows, because he's God in the flesh. This is God. This is the plan of the Father from the creation of all, even before the creation of mankind. And I'm just fulfilling what God has set for me even before that time. But think about this. Jesus Christ has to come to this conclusion as well. Father, this decision may cost me something. And did it? It cost God everything that we might have salvation so rich and free. Did that come with a heavy price tag? To God, it cost him everything. To us, we couldn't pay the price. What else did it have to do with? Jesus had to come to this conclusion. It's not about me. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 made it very clear. Who being found in the form of a servant, even in the likeness of men, we see the complete humility, the complete emptying of Jesus Christ himself to go to the cross of Calvary for each one of us. Do you see it? It wasn't about Jesus from his perspective, because on the mind of Jesus was every one of us. And then the last thing, from the standpoint of Jesus, it was all about doing God's will. And even in Gethsemane, we see him say it, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Lord Jesus, why are you here? I'm here, going to the cross of Calvary for such a time as this. Amen. Now let me ask you a question. Why are you here? Why has God put you in Greeley, Colorado in 2019, right here at this time? And I can tell you this, I know the answer. I know the answer. You are here for such a time as this. I don't know what that looks like between you and God at this point, but I know this, you're here for such a time as this. But as I close, you need to understand something. What does that mean to you? It means three things. It may cost you something. You standing up, you being a mouthpiece for God, you witnessing to others, you raising your family in a Christian environment, you taking a stand for that which is of God, it may cost you something. We don't know persecution in this country yet, but we may. Are you willing to count the cost? Number two, you need to understand this. It's not about you. How many of you know that? It's not about you. It's about something much greater than any of us can even imagine. Listen, I didn't ask to go to Washington. I didn't ask to go to the White House. I didn't ask to go to Capitol Hill. It was laid in my lap, but I didn't shirk it either. And I said, God, if this is what you will have me to do, then here am I. Send me. Because I realized it's not about me. It's about the country and the society that we live in for the cause of Christ and for Christianity as we know it today. Amen? Number three, I had to realize something real quickly, as well as you. This is simply about doing God's will. That's why we're here. We're here to fulfill His will, not ours. If we have any agenda whatsoever in life, it ought to be completely encapsulated in the will of God. When's the last time we went and said, Lord, help me to understand clearly your will for me this day, this hour, this week, this year? And that we would be able to cry out just as Jesus Christ himself did and say something like this, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. Why? Simply this, because we are here for such a time as this. We can't shirk that responsibility. I don't know what that looks like in your life, but God does. And we must say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Amen.